When John F. Kennedy stepped into the White House in 1961, it was the culmination of a story of a family's rise in 20th century America, a story in which everybody in that family had a role to play.
The first detachment of the Clan Kennedy arrives. At Plymouth, five of the nine children of the American ambassador reach England with Mrs. Kennedy.
I'm looking forward with great anticipation to taking up my duties here.
A question addressed to the elder Miss Kennedy, aged 18, pertinent to a romance, was not regarded as impertinent, so we may hear more about that later.
Patriarch Joseph Kennedy took up at the Court of St. James in London back in 1938, appointed ambassador to Great Britain in the Franklin Roosevelt administration. Joe was a tough, opinionated voice in London and to Washington regarding tumultuous world affairs in the late 1930s. Ambassador Kennedy tried to defy both FDR and Winston Churchill to keep the U.S. out of the war with Germany.
On Sunday, I returned from war-torn Europe to the peaceful shores of our beloved country, renewed in my conviction that this country must and will stay out of war.
Joe Kennedy was wrong and paid dearly for his stumbles. But all the while, Joe Kennedy's daughter, Kathleen, was nimbly negotiating British royalty and a power structure that was in decline but still deeply influential. Kathleen, called Kick, was beloved in British society and was the first entree to international power for her favorite older brother, Jack, on his way up. Then tragedy struck the family. Kick lost her oldest brother, Joe Jr., in the war. Only a month later, Kick's husband, William Cavendish, the heir apparent of the Duke of Devonshire, was also killed in the fighting. Jack was seriously injured in the Pacific, and then Kick herself died at age 28 in a plane crash. Barbara Leeming is the author of Kick Kennedy, The Charmed Life and Tragic Death of the Favorite Kennedy Daughter. She says this daughter had an impact on her time far beyond the small ways she is remembered today.
Kick Kennedy is not really the Kennedy's family story that one expects. It's very much about a young girl who desperately wants her own identity. She's very, very much like Jack. She's incredibly ambitious and wants, above all, to be a person of influence. But she's brought up in this family where Joe Kennedy tells the kids, you're Kennedys. You're not individuals. You're Kennedys. And in 1938, when old Joe Kennedy became U.S. ambassador to the Court of St. James, Kick went with him. And she found her way out of the family by entering the most closed part of the British aristocracy, what I call the aristocratic cousinhood. And they took her in, were mad for her, absolutely mad for her, which is a very big question. Why? She's no beauty. She's a very sweet and very lively girl, but it isn't that. What they wanted was the toughness and the resilience and the competitiveness, and they recognized it. And she became the red blood for their blue blood.
Well, what's so astounding here is that, you know, Joe Kennedy has real problems figuring out and decoding the British world that he thinks he's got down pat and learns that he doesn't. But Kick innately understands the sort of power language of this cousinhood. Why do you think she does?
I think that, first of all, she had an incredible set of guides when she arrived there. Once they found her, they took great care to make sure she saw something that was, I think, the absolute antithesis of what her father was saying, and that is a world in which duty and honor were enormously, enormously appealing. And she believed it. What happened, I mean, it's a very simple thing. She fell in love very quickly at the age of 18 with a boy who was Billy Hardington, who was the heir to the Duke of Devonshire. And she believed that by becoming a duchess, she would have the kind of power and influence that her brother was going for in the presidency. What she didn't understand was that she had walked in at a pivotal moment in British history, which was the moment when the political power of the aristocracy was vanishing forever, which it did in the Second World War. Billy Hardington was killed 4 months after Kick married him and never became the Duke, obviously. She never became the Duchess. Andrew Devonshire and his wife, Debo Devonshire, were just the most wonderful guides to me to this world. And both of them said, you know, that politics for them was in the blood. And having them as guides to explain it to you was really quite an incredible experience.
If Kick had survived, what do you think her role in the administration might have been?
I think that what had happened, Jack had been assimilated into Kick's British family. They referred to him as their American cousin. And I think that what you would have had, Kick would have played a bigger role than Debo Devonshire played. When Kick died, Debo Devonshire became the Duchess, and she and Jack became very close. And she would come to the White House and visit and whatever. And Macmillan would use her to say, you know, to bring a message to Jack, but more than that, to make the tie closer, to keep him bound to the Brits. And he was. And I think, obviously, if it had been his own sister, it would have been even stronger. And I think for Kick, she would have been wild in that, would have made a complicated sort of secondary first lady, I guess. But, I mean, she would have loved it.
Talk about the funeral. The hits that Joe takes in his life are extraordinary, and this was one of them.
You know, as awful as Joe Kennedy can be, he's also about as sad a character as you can possibly have. Of course, he lost his favorite son, Joe, in the last part of the war. He lost his son-in-law when Kick's husband was killed. The injuries that Jack suffered in becoming a war hero in the Pacific were devastating. He saw his family torn apart by that war, and then his favorite daughter is killed in a plane crash, coming to him in Paris, trying to get him to okay her marriage to a married Protestant, a man called Peter Wentworth Fitzwilliam, the 8th Earl Fitzwilliam. When she was killed in the plane crash with Fitzwilliam, Joe, there was nothing he could do. And the body just lay in Paris unclaimed. Nobody was doing anything. Rose was completely freaked out, did nothing. Jack started to come to England and turned around in New York and headed for Hyannis. And the body is there. And who is going to bury her? Nobody's doing anything. And Kick's mother-in-law, who is a character called Mowsher Devonshire, she was the Duchess of Devonshire, she adored Kick. And Mowsher said to Joe, look, would you allow us to bury Kick here with Billy's family? She's Billy's wife, even though she was going to marry somebody else. We love her. We want to take care of her. Joe said, yeah, bury her. Yes, you can. And so Joe went with the body to England. And I remember Debo saying to me that when he arrived at the gravesite, she's buried just above Chatsworth up in a little graveyard and on a hill. When Joe was standing next to the grave, Debo said he had this terrible navy blue suit on, which I guess he'd been wearing for days. And she said it was just all crumbled up. And she said, I kept looking at the suit and I realized he was more crumbled than the suit was. It was, I mean, everything had been taken out of him at that point. And it was, I mean, she said it was just a picture of everything that had been lost.
Barbara Leeming, author of Kick Kennedy, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, John. It's wonderful talking to you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.